HubZero.org, a platform for scientific collaboration. You can follow along with this presentation by going to HubZero.org and downloading the corresponding slides. Enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon. Thanks for attending the session, especially right after lunch and one of the last sessions of the day. My name is Michael Witt. I'm an assistant professor of library science at Purdue. I'm a librarian, and it's been really refreshing to be at the workshop with so many people representing so many other disciplines, not just computer engineers and software developers, but all kinds of different sciences. And so now I'd like to talk just a little bit about library science and applying some library science principles to the Hub. The title of our talk is Exposing Hub Objects for Aggregation Using the Open Archives Initiative Object Reuse and Exchange Specification and Linked Data. And my graduate student, Swathi Sivaram, helped me with this. So how everyone's used the web before. How many people are familiar with the semantic web? So a couple of people. Okay. Given the time, I can't get into too much more detail. Essentially, the semantic web is a web of data. So the web that we have now, the World Wide Web, is intended for human beings to use. Okay? So you rely on a human being using a web browser to navigate to a page, to click on a link, to access content. Yeah, the general idea behind the semantic web is you present similar types of linked information for consumption by a machine, by a user agent. Okay? The implementation of the semantic, and there are lots of different implementations of semantic web. The one that I'm going to concentrate on today is proposed by Sir Tim Berners-Lee, and it's called Linked Data. And so if you haven't seen this TED Talk, Linked Data Now, I highly recommend this. He can get into more detail about kind of the argument for why linked data is a good thing. Cottie Borner mentioned this morning that there's a linked open data cloud, and the idea that you are essentially taking data, exposing it to the web with some description, and then relating it to other things on the web using these formal vocabularies. So basically at the atomic level in linked data, we're implementing a resource description framework, or RDF. So if you think of almost like diagramming a sentence, you've got subject, predicate, object. Okay? And so you have one thing, like for example, it could be this book, and you have a predicate, has a copyright date of, and an object, 1979. Okay? So that's just a very small piece of information, just that one triple. But if you keep adding more and more and more triples and relating more and more and more things, it's amazing the richness of description that you can achieve. And so, since I'm a librarian, we'll continue this kind of analogy of the book as the object we're describing, and we'll pick a vocabulary to use. The vocabulary that I'll pick is Dublin Core, which is very, very generic. These 15 core terms: contributor, coverage, creator, date, description, format, identifier, language, publisher, relation, rights, source, subject, title, and type. You could use Dublin Core to describe this book. You could use Dublin Core to describe a website. You could use Dublin Core to describe this table. It's very, very generic. That's one of its best feature and its worst feature. So one object that we may care to describe is a book, like this. Go to Lescherbach. Since we don't have two screens, I'm going to go old school here with the flip chart so that we don't lose our terms. And so if we were to use Dublin Core to describe this book, use this Dublin Core vocabulary, what information may we be able to pull from the title page and the TP verso of the book? And use this vocabulary to describe it. So if we were to build triples ourselves, this is the subject right here, this book. Predicate, creator, somebody to shout it out, based on the information up here. Douglas Hofstadter, right, exactly. The author, DC creator. What other ones can we find? I mentioned the date. You see the copyright date down there? So we're building triples, essentially. This is the subject, the predicate, defined by one of these vocabulary terms, and then the object, the information that we have over here. The title of the book. What about subjects? Mary, you're a librarian. Help me here.
Well, philosophy, the mathematics, artificial intelligence, and then the well.
Right, so a librarian took the time to catalog with these subjects here. Does anyone know what these are right here? QA 9.8? What's that? Right. So they're Library of Congress subject headings. So a librarian who had this book would use that subject heading, and he or she would know where to shelve it. Okay, so you would be able to go find that information. Okay? So we've described one kind of object using a vocabulary at Dublin Core and built just a couple of triples just in talking with these questions and answers. Let's look at a different object, an object that we've been looking at in different instances over the course of the last day and a half, a hub object. And can you see the same elements pop out of this? So, title, Slimy Woodland Salamander. This is a fantastic video. Creator, Emily Gore. What other identifier? Right there. The URL to the object. So you're not going to go and find it on the bookshelf. You're going to go find it on the web, and so you need the URL for it. Rights statement. Creative Commons. Publisher. This is actually an interesting question. Who's the publisher of this resource? In this case, you could make a good argument for the Open Parks Grid. Maybe the National Park Service or what have you. So you have decisions that you have to make. But nevertheless, you can take this basic concept of building triples, use a descriptive vocabulary, and apply it to a hub object. So let's introduce another vocabulary, ORE, Object Reuse and Exchange. And what this vocabulary does, it gives us a way of expressing aggregations of web resources. So instead of describing elements of something, we want to describe a group of things, okay? So you might think of a hub resource as an aggregation of files and metadata, okay? Like in the previous example, the Slimy Woodland Salamander, this aggregation is this file here, which is an M4V file, a movie file. It's also this metadata that describes it. It may include the license. It may include some of the annotations, the rankings, the user comments, and these kinds of things. All of these things together, though, could be defined as an aggregation. Okay? We may also be interested in describing other aggregations on the hub platform. For example, all of the seminars on a particular hub, or all of the simulation tools on a particular hub. And so what ORE does, it gives us a vocabulary for expressing those aggregations and describing them in a machine-readable, machine-discoverable manner, okay, through resource maps. So what we see here are aggregated resources. So this could be like your M4V file, maybe your annotation, maybe your metadata file. And what you see is a relationship being described here. This file is being aggregated in this aggregation. And then aggregations are described by resource maps. That's what this REM stands for right here. So if you think of a resource map, it's just like the grocery list you take to the store to buy all the ingredients you need to prepare a meal. It's just an aggregation of stuff that belongs together. And so in this case, this aggregation, we could think of this being a hub resource. Aggregations can be nested. So this aggregation sits inside this other aggregation, which could be an aggregation of videos, you know, resource type equals video, and so on. So you describe these relationships among and between aggregations, and you have these resource maps, which essentially list everything that's in the resource, everything that's in the aggregation, and information about it. And so what I want to do is just present just a few minutes of theory about object reuse and exchange. And now what I'm going to do is turn it over to Aswathi, who is going to talk about the implementation. So instead of dealing with circles and arrows, she'll be showing you screenshots and code.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Ashwati Shivaram, and I'm a graduate research assistant working with Professor Webb on this particular project. I'll just walk you through the project status real quick. The objective of the project is to identify objects in the hub and create aggregations and expose these objects as resource maps so that it is machine readable and machine discoverable. We are currently at, the neonatal stage. We've just been into 3 months of work. It's a 3-year long project, and I just started working on it in January 2011 with Professor Wynn. I'll give you a brief idea of how we're implementing this. Before that, I'll talk you through where the most important content of the hub is. As most of you are aware, resources tab holds the most important content of the hub, or almost all the entire content of the hub. And we focus on the hub resources. I have a nice little flowchart here that describes the resources hierarchy. We have resources. Within that, we have various resource types like publications, seminars, courses, images and videos. And within these, there could be individual resources like, a particular publication, like an abstract of exposing objects as resource maps, which is the topic of our talk today, or MA 101, lecture slides to introduction to mathematics could be an individual resource. And these could also have files, which could be PDF files or video files or JPEG files. So a resource map, we are generating a resource map by embedding resource description framework or RDF tuples within the XHTML pages that constitute the resources. So I can quickly walk us through an example, the same example that Professor Witt used to explain the RDF, the slimy wood salamander, the smokies. So this is the web page. You see that this has a URI. That's not really a URI because I'm accessing it from the local machine. A title, Slimy Woodland Salamander at Great Smokies. It's got images and videos. It says that this particular object is housed within a resource type called images and videos. It's got a date, it's got about, citations and reviews. It's got a contributor, Emily Gore. It's got additional authors. It's got a description. And it's got a RDFA validator, which validates the content of the web page and sees if it's valid XHTML RDFA combination or not. So I generate resource maps for this particular web page using technology called RDFA, which is nothing but resource description framework attributes. The little A stands for attributes. So what we're doing is embedding useful data into the XHTML using attributes. It could be either Dublin Core properties or ORE properties, or even inbuilt XHTML attributes. So we can go through the source code. See that this part is a document type definition. I have modified it from a normal XHTML file to a combination of an XHTML plus RDFA to reflect all the embedding that we are doing. We've got other schema declaration, which declares the XML as the XHTML usage, the DC, the Dublin Core vocabulary, Dublin Core terms, the ORE terms, Open Resource Exchange, and other vocabulary that we use like Creative Commons license and the version of the XHTML and RDFA combination that we're using here. Let's go down and find the title for this one. Okay, here is it. So the title of the page is the title of the object is Slimy Woodland Salamander, the Great Smoky National Park. So it is attributed by a property DC title, which stands for Dublin Core title. Okay, so it's basically telling the machine, telling your browser that this is a resource description framework, which says that this particular title is a title. So it makes the machine it tells the machine something that it didn't know before. It also has data about, what else do I have? Yeah, I have the Creative Commons license here. It's attributed by the XHTML attribute Relation, represented by REL, and we use the CC:license to represent a RDF license object, which is a Creative Commons license object. I also have a DC terms description, which describes the object. It says video clip documenting the slimy woodland salamander, blah, blah, blah. So that is a description, or a Dublin Core terms description, of the object that we are looking at. I have the DC terms contributor, which is the additional authors that contributed towards writing up this particular object. I also have a creator. Seems to have lost somewhere. There we go. I have a creator, which is, you see, it's also marked up by an XHTML attribute contributor, but the property DC terms is going to override this contributor attribute. And it's got the main author for this particular object, Emily Gore. And so on and so forth. I have other relations, that Dublin Core relation that relates this particular object, the slimy salamander, to the tags that contain represent the object web page, you know, like tags that contain great smoky mountains or tags towards slimy salamander, etc. And last but not the least, I have the validator for the W3C validator for validating the XHTML plus RDFA combination. So that's pretty much about the source code and what changes I have made. I'll walk you through the implementation real quick. So how this fits into the Joomla framework, I'm pretty sure you guys are all familiar with how Joomla works and how the hub works. But just to give context to my implementation, I'm just quickly going through the Joomla framework. So there's a model, there's a view, there's a controller. Joomla runs on model view controller architecture. The user passes a request to the controller. The controller manipulates the model, gets data, pushes the data to the view, and the view is what the user sees. And the model view controller is encompassed within a folder or a directory called a component. So our resources is a component. So the standard naming convention is a com_resources to represent a component. And we've got four PHP files, four main PHP files, which are resources.php, a controller PHP, and two other helper files, resources.extended.php and an HTML helper file. We also have a directory called views, within which lies the templates, and we have a defaults template that the user sees with all the data that he wants. I touch only two of these. I manipulate a little bit in the resources.html.php because that's what pushes the XHTML into the view. And I also do a little bit of modification of the default.php file because that's this combined with the basic hub template is what contains the document type definition and the header and schema definitions for the web page. So I can show you a real graphical view of how the RDF looks for a few objects. Okay. I have what is known as a Gravity RDF browser open here, and I have hand-built a couple of RDF tuples to show the relationship between the resources and individual resource types and its contents. So that is a subject. So here I have in the center a resource of type images and videos, so it's a resource. And within that I have a resource, an individual resource, which is identified by this URI, resources/225. I have three resources, in fact, 1, 2, and 3. And the subject of this resource is also images and videos. And this particular resource, your resource is /225, it aggregates a video file. As you saw here, it's a video file. And so what we're showing here is that this particular resource with the URI, resources /225, aggregates a resource type, a content of type video with this particular URI. There's a title, What's a Slimy, What's a Salamander at Great Smokies. There are relationships. I'll just maximize that real quick. There we go. So just focus on the top part of the graph because, you know, that's probably the cleanest one. So you have about, citations, and reviews, which all show relationship to the main URI, the main resource object. And there's the URI of the object itself. And there is an aggregation of a video file and an author, which is shown by the DC terms creator, and a title for that particular object. All in all, it looks something like this. So, yeah, you see that there are three different types of resources and all the data corresponding to it. So why we're doing all this, it's for Tim Berners-Lee. He came up with the linked data principles. All kinds of conceptual things, they have names now that start with HTTP, which is pretty much true about, you know, the entire web. We get information back. And when we get information back, it's good to have it in a standard format like RDFA or an RDF-XML. And when you get back this information, it's got to have relationships to be able to mean something. And that is the basic principle of semantic web that Professor Witt talked about some time back. So we have relationships, we have RDF triples that explain relationship between the data that goes into our XHTML page. So our goal is to enable the hub to become part of semantic web. In one of the earliest talks this morning, Dr. Borner said that, you know, we have to get the hub to be part of the cloud up there and to be part of the semantic web cloud. And that's what we are contributing towards. We are making the hub part of the bigger picture, part of the semantic web. So we achieve this by exposing the objects in the hub as ORE aggregations and creating resource maps and making them machine readable and discoverable. This even optimizing search engine algorithms. Two use cases that could also come up from here is to be able to replicate the content and rebuild the hub repository as a whole from scratch just using resource maps. And also this enables content mapping between the hub and other repositories such as the Fedora repository, which librarians may be familiar with. You could also create a customized aggregation, like you could pull data from, you know, like get an MA 101 lecture slide and get a movie file and a PDF file, put them all together, make your own lecture, and publish that as an aggregation on the hub and create a resource map for its own. Professor Wood, do you want to take over?
Yeah, so again, like Aswathi said, we're just taking one baby step towards exposing one hub, the Open Parks Grid, to the semantic web as linked data. Future steps, we need to present a couple of the use cases that Aswathi described to show that this is practical application. I think that we have two good ideas. We're interested in hearing other ideas. So if in your hub developer community, you're investigating semantic web, we'd really like to talk with you. If you have ideas for aggregations or relationships that we can, linkages that we can make, whether they're part of Open Parks Grid or whether we're implementing this just generically as part of the core distribution of Hub Zero, I think there's a lot of potential in that. I want to acknowledge Emily Gore at Clemson, who is the PI on this project, and Elizabeth Baldwin, also at Clemson, and the Institute of Museum and Library Services. They provided some support for us to be able to get started. Like Aswathi said, we're only 3 months into it, and we've got another couple of years. And so It's a very, very, very early presentation, but that's on purpose. That's so that if there are other interested parties, you can talk with us and maybe influence the course of our work over the next 2.5 years or so. Thank you.
Are there questions? Yes.
Let's get out of the way.
It's great work. It's really exciting. I'm wondering if you're planning on using some sort of object hierarchy, Ferber type thinking to represent derivative works as a next step as well?
That's an interesting question. Each of the hubs have kind of come up with their own data model, if you will. So like most of the hubs generally have the notion of a resource. That's an aggregation of some files and some metadata and some other information. And then you could look at it and say they're organized by type of resource. And then the highest level would be just the entire hub. I don't know if that holds true across all of the hubs, though. And so I think that's a very interesting question to explore, especially as the hubs mature and there are derivatives being generated and submitted back to the hub. I know that the issue of data provenance came up a couple of times in the discussion over the last couple of days, and that's a key issue in that, too, being able to maintain an audit trail from an original data set to one that's been changed, you know, further downstream and then changed again. It's important in terms of trust for downstream users and also just for the reproducibility of the results. But I think there is a role for something like a Ferber model to play. Thank you.
So I seem to remember that Tim posited 4 rules for linked open data, but I can't remember what they were.
Yeah, so Aswathi kind of gave the Wikipedia definition, the common definition. So what you need for linked data is you need an identifier, okay, a URI. The URL is a URI. You need a transport mechanism, which is HTTP. You need some metadata. So in our example here, this would be this RDF that we're talking about. And then you need a vocabulary for relating these. So Dublin Core in our example. So those are the 4 pieces.
Are those the 4 that Tim laid out?
I believe so.
Yeah? Okay, thank you.
I may be bastardizing them, though. I don't... Sorry.
That's fine with me.
Yeah. Other questions? Okay, thank you very much.